Hello, everyone. Welcome to the CSFL Hub podcast. I'm your host, as always, Kyle. Today, we will be going into our week 7 review. Another very exciting week, another record-setting week, another tone-setting week in the CSFL. Definitely, as someone who's an avid watcher and alum of the CSFL, it's definitely exciting to see this much talent in the league and see, you know, this many exciting games in one season. Especially coming off of a very, very hectic year. So it makes me absolutely proud to see, you know, some of these players doing some of the things they're doing and these games being as exciting as they are. So diving right into it, let's kick it off. We have our first matchup. We have Penn versus Outerson Brodus. Penn took the W in this one 38-7. And my player of the game is senior tight end Ben Klaus. He finished the game with 8 receptions, 86 yards, and 3 touchdowns. So Penn continues to roll offensively, just like they have all season. Junior quarterback Andrew Paolini continues his impressive stretch of play. He threw for 239 yards and 3 touchdowns. This is his 4th game this year that he's thrown for 3-plus touchdowns. So definitely a testament to, you know, the ability that he has. He does, you know, have quite a fantastic trio of offensive position, skill position seniors. In Laquan McKeever, Brendan McCaffrey, and Benjamin Klaus. But he definitely has shown ability to play the position regardless of that. And I think, you know, even with their departure coming up after this season, I think he has shown how impressive of a quarterback he can potentially be if he does, you know, have some guys there who are going to be able to produce. But he's made some throws this season, and he made some throws in that game where I was just like, yeah, he can really, really sling the rock, and you can better than a lot of guys. And you can really win with this, and you can really, you know, if you give him some tools and help him out with play calling, you know, he's definitely a quarterback who's going to be able to play some championship level football. So that's definitely something that was shown this year from him. As we continue, senior running back Laquan McKeever, one of the senior offensive skill players that they have, that's absolutely phenomenal. He continues his dominant season. He finished with 110 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's his 5th 100-yard rushing game this year, and that's his 5th game of at least 2 rushing touchdowns this year. So he's been absolutely on a tear all season. He's definitely going to go down as, you know, one of the better running backs they've, you know, had at Penn in the history of their program, especially when you take into consideration some of the numbers and production he put up in just 2 seasons of play. He was there for 4 years, but his freshman year he played very, 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 very sparingly. In fact, I believe he's also playing corner at the time. So if you look at the numbers he put up in just 2 years, two real years of playing the running back position, absolutely incredible, absolutely, you know, Hall of Fame level. Definitely something when you look back and, you know, through the lore, the history of the league is something that's going to be very, very impressive. And, you know, he still gets another opportunity to go out there and, you know, put forth an amazing effort that he's put forth in, you know, just probably 15 career games, 16 career games, as opposed to some people's 20 plus to 30. So definitely an incredible football player. One of my favorite players to watch. Then we actually get to our player of the game. Senior tight end Ben Klaus, who had an incredible night. 8 receptions, 86 yards, 3 touchdowns. I believe this is his 2nd game this season with multiple touchdowns. And he's continued to show all throughout the year and throughout his career, quite honestly, that he's one of, if not probably, you know, the best tight end in the league's history. Definitely the best tight end that's ever played at Penn. You know, the tight end position, I've said it before, is historically pretty weak in the CSFL and spring football. And not a lot of guys who've had a real, real impact. You know, one of the more impressive guys is a Joe Buck or Buick from Mansfield, early 2000 teens. Was a really, really effective tight end because, you know, essentially you know, the best tight ends are guys who can block and affect the run game and be legitimate pass catchers to dominant pass catchers and affect the, you know, your passing game. And sometimes, you know, you get just blocking tight ends who are just tackles. And sometimes you get guys who are really essentially just slot receivers, maybe tall, and you may be lining them up there, but they're not effective at anything. And maybe not even that good of a pass catcher. But Klaus is probably the guy who's been best at both, like who legitimately can block and is one of the most effective tight ends any given season across the league since he's been in the league. And he's been, like, listed at receiver and stuff. But, like, ever since I played the kid, he's always played, like, tight end. Like, I was a senior, I think, when he was a freshman. Yeah. And he's playing tight end. So I think they had to hide him at certain positions so he could receive some recognition based on some of the voting systems of the league. But he's just been, like, a first-team tight end in, like, three straight seasons. You know, again, he's one of the last this year and next year is the last crop of players, not even all of them, but that I would have played against on some of these teams, being a few years removed now. And I played him when he was a freshman, and he's absolutely phenomenal. And now statistically, he's probably going to go down as the best tight end in CSFL history quite easily, in my opinion. When you go to the defensive side of the ball, Penn did their thing, holding Alderson Brodus to 7 points. Junior defensive lineman Travis Legum, he's had a pretty good season this year, quite honestly. He had another good game. He had 4 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, 0.5 sack. And, you know, Penn really went down there and handled business in what was probably the nicest weathered game of the weekend. And it wasn't perfect by any means. But, you know, for those of you who aren't on the East Coast and keep up with CSFL spring football, you know, it was pretty much a nor'easter from Thursday night to Friday. So all of these games were played in pretty hairy conditions, with Alderson, Brodus, and Penn being the westernmost game. So not necessarily the East Coast, but still in the East. Was probably the nicest weathered game of the three games. When we go to Alderson Brodus, go to the other side of the ball, Alderson Brodus actually finishes their season with this game, so they won't be having a game next season. And, you know, despite, much like the whole entire season, this loss, you know, despite it being a loss, there definitely were some bright spots in the game. And throughout the season, junior quarterback Timothy Tillman being one of them. He finished the night with 187 yards, 1 touchdown. The junior has been a leader throughout the season. He's been one of their most effective players. You know, when you go and look at statistically, I don't have his season numbers right in front of me, but I know he's only threw a few touchdowns, maybe like two or three of whom going to, you know, Shimon Guinness, who I'll get to in a minute. But he's definitely made some throws throughout the season. And shown, you know, some leadership on the field that, you know, is just testament of a good football player, you know, despite the conditions that he might be surrounded by currently due to youth. You know, I do think they, you know, they did go through a coaching transition, you know, not too long ago. But Timmy Tillman has been, you know, a mainstay for the offense. I did get to see, I was flipping back and forth between all these games. This game, every game but the Mansfield Navy game, because that was on ESPN+. So I was catching different glimpses of different games, and like they were different start times. So it was kind of easy, but it got kind of hairy at the end with the last two games. So I was having to flip back and forth. But, you know, he's made some throws. I say all that to say that he made some throws in that game, and he's made some throws all season that are definitely winning quarterback throws, where you need a guy to make a throw to make this formation or make this route combination work. And he's made some throws. So he's definitely a guy I'm going to be keeping an eye on. I think the league should keep an eye on. You know, he can play football. You know, you got to apply the context to some of his end-of-the-season numbers. but he's definitely a quarterback who can play some winning football if the situation around him ever improves. As it relates to this game, freshman tight end Jacob Perez, he had the best game of his career. He finished with 6 receptions for 60 yards. And junior wide receiver Shimon Guinness finished with 7 receptions, 48 yards. Guinness is another guy that this season, you know, even though some of the team success wasn't there, he showed what team success they did have was he was a big part of. Showed to be a reliable threat on the outside. He's a traditional outside receiver, win jump balls, go win the route type of guy. Most certainly going to, you know, be an all-conference player from the league. And, you know, us here at the Hub, just based off of the production that he had while only playing 5 games. And he still was very, very impressive. Still was the primary offensive threat every time they stepped on the field. So that's definitely something that they can build on. Also, him being a junior as well. So it'll be interesting to see that combination of Tillman and Guinness improve. You know, as the years go on, you know, as they go and get ready for their final season. Freshman linebacker Ramel Pumphrey, also another guy, probably had the best game in his career statistically. He finished with 12 tackles. And sophomore Austin Bradley had his 6 tackles, 1 tackle for loss, and 1 sack. AB, you know, like I said, basically throughout this whole first review of this first game, they have a very bright future. Be interesting to see what they do with their coaching decisions. I think they should reward the guys they have there and help them, you know, continue to usher in the program, which is still in its infancy. So, you know, hopefully they let Matt, Coach Matt there, Coach Perotti, get a chance to, you know, take that program into the future. So it'll be interesting to see how they move forward with that. Despite any shortcomings this season, AB has, you know, something to look forward to. As we move on, get to our next game, we have Mansfield versus Navy. Navy won this one pretty shorthandedly, 46-3. My player of the game was Navy senior running back Matthew McGee. Finished with 82 rushing yards and 3 touchdowns. The rushing attack was too much for Mansfield to handle in this one. Again, now this game was more affected by the adverse conditions than the Penn Alderson Broders game. All the games moving forward were more affected. So this was a, you know, rain bowl, wet adverse conditions describes it best. The passing attack under senior quarterback William Young did just enough, you know, to keep Mansfield defense honest. So they had to respect it. So that running game could really take over. Leong, who has his second start of his career, he finished with 115 yards and 1 touchdown. Whatever the case may be, what happened with starting quarterback Brendan Atwood, most appears to be an injury. This was Leong's second straight start after a week off, after a second bye week due to a Cornell forfeit. So he's been out for 3 weeks now. So it may be Leong moving forward if the whatever has happened to Atwood is very severe. So that's very encouraging for the Navy faithful that he did have such a decent game where he didn't have to do too much and the running game can just naturally take over. Senior running back Matthew McGee again finished. He finished with 82 yards on the ground and 3 touchdowns. His second or third multi-touchdown game this year. Sophomore Tyler Messina and junior Alex Toda combined for 165 yards and 2 touchdowns between the two of them. So they were really just their natural running selves, Navy offense that is, in this game. Sophomore wide receiver Andrew Margiotta got back to the dominance that he showed earlier in this season. And he continues to show that he's the best receiver that they've had there for quite some time. Since Matthew Height, I think I've mentioned that before. Excited to see what he can do moving forward in his career because I hadn't seen a guy like this in the time that I've been involved in sprint football there. Matthew Height was a little bit before my time. So it is interesting to see a guy like this who's not the norm there produce. A well-balanced defensive attack really just smothered Mansfield. They held them for under 100 yards of total offense. And senior defensive lineman Jake Karzwiski, he had an impressive day. He finished with six tackles, 2.5 tackles for loss, and 1 sack. So Navy continues to roll, coming back off of their second bye week after getting a forfeit last week. Navy hits the road for the final game of the regular season to decide the CSFL South Championship in their final week versus Penn. Mansfield couldn't get much going offensively in this game. Freshman quarterback Cassid Raymond and Ben Briggs combined for just 52 passing yards. Raymond was the team's leading rusher on the day with 46 yards. Poor weather conditions and just a stifling Navy defense really kept Mansfield from getting it going. Defensively, Mansfield, you know, had some life, you know, despite the score. Junior linebacker Matt Robert, he led the team with 15 tackles. That's his fourth game this season with 10-plus tackles. Robert continues to prove to be just a machine. He's been a machine since he came into the league his first season, where I think all but one game his first season was double-digit tackles. So he's just a machine when it comes to being a defensive staple for Mansfield. Senior linebacker Chase Moser added 8 tackles and 2.5 tackles for loss. Moser's also had a very impressive season, you know, doing some different things, moving from being an interior guy when he first entered the league, you know, D-tackle type, to really going out on the edge and being very, very successful, so which is a testament to his ability and his talent. I mean, what he's brought to a career there at Mansfield. Mansfield heads back home for the final game of their regular season as they welcome Caldwell for one final CSFL North matchup. Next game we get to is Cornell versus Chestnut Hill. Cornell won this one 6-0. This game was an absolute mud bowl. Absolutely just as football of a football game as one would dream of, you know, when you were a kid, just riled in mud and gunk and just bad weather. This game was probably the most effective because Chestnut Hill has a grass field, so it got crazy. Definitely a game everybody on both sides will remember forever, win, lose, or draw, just due to the conditions. Cornell took home the W, 6-0. My player of the game was junior running back Jacob Wincoop, finished with 189 rushing yards. The game quickly, due to the conditions, turned into just, you know, who's going to run the ball, you know, who's going to run the ball better is going to win the game. Cornell is a guy with, you know, junior running back Jacob Wincoop, who's showing, you know, despite the situation around him, he's one of the more effective offensive players in the league. Despite some of the lacking things that he's surrounded by, much like some Alderson Broders players that I mentioned earlier. He turned out a whopping 189 yards and, you know, led Cornell to victory. He's been the catalyst of the offense all season, and he's going to be one of the guys you got to look out for moving forward next season as Cornell continues to try and return to relevancy. Junior quarterback Xavier Martinez scored the lone touchdown on the night, a 6-yard run towards the end of the first quarter. Defensively, sophomore linebacker Will Anderson had an impressive game. He finished with 10 tackles and 2 tackles for loss. Cornell heads back home for their final game of the season to play Army. Chestnut Hill lost this game of attrition. Weather conditions, like I said, again, quickly just made it a very, very one-dimensional game. Cornell attempted 9 or 10 passes, only completed 1. And Chestnut Hill attempted 1 pass, which wasn't completed. So it was really just running the ball from both sides, and defenses just whatever defense could stop the run better and whatever offense could run the ball better side of this game. You see how close it was with the score just being 6-0. The Griffins used a stable of their ball carriers to attack Cornell freshman running back Anthony Broardi finished as the team's leading rusher. He's also the team's leading rusher on the season with 57 yards on the night. Sophomore athlete Lonnie Sobuski, he added 42 yards on the ground. And freshman running back Ira Bain added 37 yards on the ground. So stable of young ball carriers did what they could for the Griffin offense. On the other side of the ball, freshman defensive back Meech Lehler led the team with 7 tackles for the Griffins. It was a tough day due to the conditions for both teams, both sides of the ball. But that is definitely a game all parties will remember just due to the conditions and the tightness of the game. Chestnut Hill ends their season next week at St. Thomas Aquinas. Final game of the night was Army versus Caldwell. This game was also incredibly affected by weather conditions, but this one was one for the ages in terms of the game, just being able to watch it. The live stream cut out for me on the end for maybe like the last 2 overtimes, but this game went in 5 overtimes. I should have started with that. So like the last 2 overtimes, I couldn't even see. I was so mad. But, you know, I was keeping up with it on the live stats, the play-by-play. But this one was one for the ages, man. This one was one that I think all parties involved will remember. And, you know, it was a testament to the parity, you know, that has been rising in the league. The Army won this one 4-2, which is a very awkward score, so I can explain that. And player of the game, senior defensive lineman, defensive end, Alex Sebeski, finished with 4 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, and 1 sack. So with the score being 4-2, so the score was 0-0 going into overtime. And with the overtime rules now, it's actually funny. I saw this a couple weeks prior. We saw this a couple weeks prior when Mansfield and St. Thomas Aquinas went into a multiple overtime game. And that was also a game for the ages. That was incredible. But I saw it in my brother's youth football game like 3 weeks ago too. To those who like didn't know, so like now with overtime, each team like gets the ball and they get like 4 plays. So as you score, you get like 4 chances to get in. When score, don't score, the other team gets 4 chances to get in, and y'all like keep going until someone scores and like someone gets a stop essentially. And then it goes each time each team possesses the ball. That's like 1 overtime. Then it's 2 overtimes. Then it's 3 overtimes. And you just keep going and going. This one made it to 5. So each of those like scores was like considered like a PAT, like extra point for like 2. So it wasn't like safeties. I had a player in the league reach out to me. I forgot to respond on the page. But it wasn't like safety. It was like PAT overtime point, PAT overtime point. So that's what the interesting score stems from like that. But it was a heck of a game. It was a crazy game. Army and Caldwell went down the wire, you know, decided to CSFL North, which is incredible. Army, you know, managed to pull it out due to some crucial runs from senior quarterback J.C. Watson. In the overtime, but to actually get them there, sophomore running back Landry Songer led the way for Army on the ground. He finished with 81 rushing yards on the night, one of his most impressive games of his career. Defensively, sophomore linebacker Luke Gigliotti led the way for Army with 7 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, and a sack. And then again, a senior defensive end, Alex Sebeski, had yet another dominant performance, 4 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, and 1 sack. And 1 fumble recovery to add into that. And he's definitely one of the more impressive players, impressive defensive ends in the league right now. I'm one of my favorite players to watch because you know how much I appreciate defensive end, you know, outside linebacker positions. He's definitely a guy who continues a tradition there of very, very impressive play on the defensive line, but more recently the defensive end position, you know, having play with Navante Dean, you know, being able to improve next to a talent that he was, you know, has ultimately rubbed off on Sebeski, and he is continuing the line of, you know, dominant defensive line players there. One of my favorite players to watch. Army hits the road for their last game of the season to take on Cornell. We flipped to the other side again. Caldwell, second half of this game, second team in this game that, you know, contributed to one of the most impressive, crazy games in CSFL history. Again, this is the second multiple overtime game this year. Earlier in the season, it was Mansfield versus St. Thomas Aquinas. And just like that game, both of these teams in this game, you know, it'll go down as something like everybody, all parties remember. I'm going to always remember that game because I was watching that game until the fucking end and it cut out on me. But that's definitely one of the more memorable games in, you know, Spartan football history, honestly. Junior quarterback Frank DeMeo threw for 115 yards despite the conditions. He threw for the most yards out of any player that was really, like, in the mess. Again, like, Penn Outerson Broda's game condition-wise was the best of all of these games. So for him to throw the ball – oh, no, William Leong threw the ball effectively too. Did he throw more yards than William Leong? Well, those two. To be, like, in the muck. Yeah. William Leong threw for a little bit more, but like to be in the muck like that throwing and getting over 100 yards is impressive in itself. Despite those conditions, is very, very impressive. Senior running back Carl Watson led the way for the Cougars on the ground. He finished with 52 rushing yards. Sophomore wide receiver Nadir Orsani, he made a big play early in the game, midway through the game. He also led Caldwell in receiving yards. He had 3 receptions for 52 yards. Other side of the ball, Caldwell defense, which has been the impressive aspect of their team throughout the entire season, was, again, absolutely impressive in this game as well. Freshman linebacker Andrew Coughlin and junior defensive lineman Michael Lorman finished with 11 tackles apiece. Sophomore defensive lineman Messiah Porter was causing some havoc. He finished with 3 tackles, 1 tackle for loss, and 1 sack. The young defensive end showed some flashes throughout the season. He's definitely someone I would keep my eye on moving forward through his career. Caldwell finishes their season with 1 final CSFL North matchup at Mansfield to culminate their successful season. So that is a wrap on this Week 7 review. One of the craziest weeks in league history in terms of games and parity. Definitely something that'll, you know, multiple games that happen this week that teams will remember and, you know, teams will be better for moving forward. So definitely is a great time to be a Spartan football fan. Definitely is a great time for someone to get in to Spartan football, like knowing what it is and watching the games and, you know, finding a team because it definitely is exciting right now. And just a small sample of, you know, what the league is going to be moving forward and what sprint ball is going to be moving forward. So testament to the teams, players, and coaches involved making this week one of the greatest weeks. And we're going to finish out the regular season next week, probably even better. So again, thank you for joining me. It's been the CSFL Hub Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Kyle. Catch you guys next week. Peace.